Time for another Taco Tuesday here on Q92, where we get together with Amber Boyens, registered dietitian nutritionist with Immunutrition here in Madison, Minnesota. How you doing, Amber?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. We're just talking about you at Kiwanis Club today.
That's always fun.
It's Dr. Fields, who
who's wonderful.
Is big in using diet to prevent problems.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about what you should do to improve your diet, and sounded like she'd been talking to you or something. You'd been talking to her, so
a little bit of both. We're really fortunate here in town. I'm not as familiar with the other healthcare facilities in the area, but our doctors here in Madison do a really great job of including diet or recognizing the importance of diet and a lot of the things that we can prevent and manage and all of that.
Right. Well, she's a good source. She'd enjoy talking to anyone who would want to talk about improving their diet, too.
That's right.
As well as you.
That's right.
All right.
Yep.
Well, we're going to talk about food dyes today.
We are. A timely topic.
It is, because the FDA just banned, I read, knowing going into this program,
yes.
I thought I'd do a little research ahead of time, red dye.
Red dye number three,
which has been used in food for a long time.
Yes. It has been used in food for a long time. It's been banned in cosmetics and topical things since like the 90s, but it's been used in our food for decades. And red dye number three is one that we see a lot in pharmaceutical products. So if we have red liquids that we're drinking or pinkish colored liquids that we're drinking or pills that we're taking, a lot of times those contain red dye number three.
Is that basically just put in to change the color? I mean, it doesn't have any other benefits or purposes, just to change the color of your pill or whatever.
And I know candy corn is controversial, but we like candy corn.
I love candy corn.
Yeah. Candy corn is a very rich source of red dye 3. So now there are other ways to make things colors, right? And I think we've become so accustomed to these really bright, vibrant colors that we need or often use artificial dyes to get to, but there's maybe some better alternatives. And one of the things that you learned in your reading is that there's maybe a lot of other countries that don't use some of these.
Right.
Yes. So red dye number three is one of those ones that a lot of countries really don't use. And we have been using it in our food for a long time. Now, when the FDA banned it recently, they did say this is not because we have human research to indicate that it's cancer causing, but there is animal research to indicate that at high doses, it may lead to cancer. Now, I think one important thing to think about with this is it's kind of hard to do research in some of these areas, like a randomized control trial, especially in children and infants, who are children in particular eating a lot of our food color things. I think I speak for a lot of parents when I say I probably wouldn't sign off on a study with my child where they were given food dye just to see if they developed cancer.
Yeah, probably not.
So it's a tricky thing to study because a lot of times we're having to look at people's recollection of what they consume and things like that in order to see what it is. And when we talk about food research, another difficult thing is that we can't really study something in isolation. So we can say this person consumes a lot of red 3, but then we have to take into account what other food colors are they also consuming? What other additives are they also consuming? What other foods are they also consuming? What other environmental exposures do they also have? So these things aren't necessarily easy to study. And that's why I say just because we don't have research to show that it causes cancer doesn't mean it isn't a good idea to err on the side of caution in some of these areas, especially when we're talking about things that are typically targeted toward children who are the most vulnerable, right? They've got these tiny little developing bodies, these little developing brains, and it's important for us to make our food system a little bit easier to navigate because it's not easy to navigate in the United States. We eat more processed foods than most other countries, which means we're not necessarily getting these dyes in isolation in small amounts. We're getting lots of dyes in small amounts over and over again, multiple times a day, for decades. That's probably where we start to run into a little bit of trouble.
Not just eating a couple of pieces of candy corn.
A couple of pieces of candy corn a few times a year is not probably going to be the downfall of a person, but it's all of that stuff over time. So like I said, with Red 3, which was banned, it's found to be potentially carcinogenic in rats. We see it in things like candy corn frosting, sprinkles, vegan meat alternatives that they want to make look more like meat. It just is not something that we necessarily need to have in our food supply. It doesn't do anything beneficial for us. It just changes things to red. But when they pull it out, they're probably just going to replace it with Red 40. So is Red 40 better? Maybe. Maybe not. So Red 40 does not appear to be carcinogenic. That's the good news. It doesn't appear to be cancer-causing in the research that we see. However, we do have a fair amount of research with Red 40 and Yellow 5, which is also used a lot in our foods, that they might impact behavior in children. And those are studies where we have said, hey, give us your kids and we're just going to see if we give them this food dye, if their behavior changes compared to when they're not given food dye. And we have seen that when they are given food dye, they do have less emotional regulation, less behavioral control. So in an era where kids already have more screen time, less outside time, less physical activity, less music, less art, all of those things are getting less time, and they have higher academic expectations at a younger age, also putting a ton of stuff into their food supply that makes it more difficult to concentrate is probably not super helpful. So that's where, just because we're pulling out Red 3 doesn't mean we're not going to have colorful foods anymore. Red 40 is used a lot in many products, cereals, sports drinks, things like that. Yellow 5, same thing. We see it in a lot of snack cakes or things that they want to be yellow. We also have Yellow 6. Yellow 6 is one that we, again, don't have any human studies to show harm from a cancer standpoint, but we do in some animals. And a lot of these, even when they're allowed in other countries, like Red 40 and Yellow 5 are both allowed in the European Union. But when you purchase a food that contains these food dyes, companies have to put a warning label on there that says this may impact behavior in children. So people are given the opportunity to make more educated decisions based on the things that have been added. So in addition to the reds and yellows, we've got blue 1, blue 2, green 3, all of which have studies to show potential harm. Again, not necessarily human studies that show cancer or anything like that, but we have animal studies that show problems. Some of them, like blue 1 and green 3, have been associated with certain skin irritations or even nerve cell development in animal studies. We see impairment there. And it would be easy if we could just say, well, don't buy blue sports drinks or don't buy red chewing gum. But these things are also coming in salad dressings and barbecue sauce and bread and other things that don't seem like they probably should have food coloring in them. So it's really important for us to just flip that label over and look at how many food colorings are in things that we're eating. Now, the challenge is that the dye-free versions of a lot of these things tend to be more expensive, which makes dye-free foods in some cases a luxury item, which just disadvantages those that are already disadvantaged in our food system. People who have a small budget or who live more remotely and have fewer options or don't have transport to get other places. So I always encourage people, if we can just limit the food coloring that's coming in, you don't have to avoid it completely. It would be very, very difficult, or it is very, very difficult to avoid it completely, especially if you're sending your kids to schools or programs where they get snacks. But the more we can reduce even the food colors that are allowed in our food, probably the better off we're going to feel. But everybody's free to make their own choices.
That's right.
I just want them to make educated choices.
And I was just reading here. It says some companies are creating and working on creating natural food colors.
Yes.
That seems to make sense. There's compounds found in plants like beetroot and spirulina.
Spirulina is a great one.
A blue-green algae.
Yes.
So I guess that wouldn't hurt you then.
And spirulina is loaded with benefit. Beets are loaded with benefit. The colors we get from those kinds of things are those phytonutrients that we talk about all the time. So even though those extracts, those color extracts might not come with the benefit, they're probably not going to bring with harm. So yeah, if we can find natural food colors like beta carotene, things like that, that can change our foods to orange and red and blue, because it is fun, right? What kid doesn't like to go and get a lollipop somewhere that's brightly colored? And who doesn't like to every once in a while have a colorful cereal off the shelf or something like that? I get it. I'm not trying to be the fun police. But if we can do it in more natural, less potentially harmful ways, that would probably just benefit everybody.
All right. Well, good talk once again, Amber.
Thank you.
Appreciate the information on food dyes today.
Yes.
And if anybody has any other questions, how can they find you?
Yep, you can find me online at imunutrition.com. That's imunutrition.com. Or on Facebook at ImmuNutrition, or call here to the station.
All right. We'll see you again next week.
Sounds great. Thank you.